Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
And on this Saturday morning, I am joined by Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. You can find her hanging out at the Landscape Arboretum, among other places, and the Abiders, too. We'll get to that. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I hope you are, too. It's kind of hard to believe these temperatures with near 80. I know some thermometers will hit 80 today.
Yes.
And what does that do to our shrubs and plants and flowers and things like that? I know a lot of folks, including me, will be doing a lot of watering, as I have been lately, taking advantage of this. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think that it doesn't look like we're going to get that rain now, at least around the metro area that we were talking about earlier this week. So, yeah, the heat, you know, the temperatures are temporary. They're only going to be in the 70s today and tomorrow, and then they start to be a bit more seasonal, it looks like, in the 50s through the next 10 days or so. And the important thing to do, watering, yes, absolutely. It's definitely, you can still be planting things like bulbs, and I'm going to be planting bulbs and garlic today. And so you can still be doing things like that. You know, we used to really clean up our landscapes. We used to rake up all the leaves, and we'd bag them up and haul them off. But nowadays, we're really recommending that people not be quite so tidy in their landscapes and that they leave the leaves for the overwintering insects, and primarily things like queen bees that live through the winter and hibernate underneath those leaves. And then also those leaves break down and add carbon to your soil and act as a mulch. And you're, you know, it's kind of a cool closed loop because you're using the leaves from your trees, putting them back into your soil, which feeds your plants and feeds your trees and produces more leaves. And so it's a nice way to just retain things on your property and then also be enhancing the soil. That's so important.
I've been trying to do that very thing just the other day, as a matter of fact, instead of bagging, you know, grass clippings and along with the leaves. But is there a point where if you do have a lot of trees and consequently a lot of leaves, I mean, you can't really leave a foot or two of leaves on your lawn, right?
No, you would not want to do that. And our lawn, lawn experts would say, you know, don't do that. But you can certainly mow up, you know, some of the leaves. If you have a scattering of leaves, you can mow those up and just drop them back onto your lawn. If you have a lot of leaves, if you're really knee deep in leaves, then you would want to definitely bag those up and take them to a yard waste site and dispose of them that way. What you don't want to do is you do not want to be blowing leaves or grass clippings into your gutters. The leaves will go down, will carry phosphorus and other chemicals and pollutants down into our waterways and pollute our waterways. And we all want to have the cleanest water possible in our lakes and streams and our aquifers as well. So so be sure to not, you know, bag up your leaves, get them out of the street, and or put them back into your yard. You can compost them also, of course.
Yeah, very good. By the way, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and we already are already getting those via the text, you can call Julie or you can text Julie. Either one, here's the number, 651-461-9226. This, as you know, is a very busy hour for both phone calls and texts,
yes.
So don't wait. You can ask Julie those questions right away, 651-461-9226. Here's one that comes from Bev from Inver Grove. Can I cut down my geraniums and put them in bags now, or should I wait a while?
Well, I think I'm not sure about putting them in bags. I'm guessing she is overwintering her geraniums. So geraniums, yes, our seed geraniums, these are your annual geraniums. You can either move the pots into or the plants into a dark space and just cut them back a little bit, you know, and put them in that dark space and then overwinter them that way. Give them a little water maybe once a month. Check on them. in the spring or late winter, you can go ahead and take those plants out, pot them up, and then put them into a sunny window and water them and kind of get a good head start. And people keep geraniums for many, many years that way. My geraniums are in pots. They go into our garage, which is 45 degrees, and they're just tucked under a picnic table that's in there. And I water them. I check them once in a while and then take them out in the late winter, early spring when it's sunny in the and put them in a sunny window.
We have a
website on how to overwinter geraniums, too.
You actually have room for a picnic table in your garage.
We do.
Most people would love, like me, it'd be great to have a car in there. I was looking at, I know we have to break here momentarily, but somebody wants to know, what's the best way to get rid of crabgrass now? Is this the time or is it spring?
Well, you can spot treat the crabgrass now. Crabgrass is an annual, and so the seed that it produces now will be your plants next year. So one of the key areas of crabgrass is to prevent the seed from being exposed to sunlight. Sunlight will germinate that seed. So keeping your lawn longer when you mow it, we talk about that a lot on the show, 3.5 inches, set your mower really high. And so next spring, as you're cutting your lawn, you know, keep that grass high, and that will help to shade those weed seeds and reduce your crabgrass issues, along with other annual seeds. But right now, you would want to spot treat those with a non-selective herbicide, something like a glyphosate triclopyr combination.
Here's a listener text. How do you tell if Brussels sprouts got frozen in the garden, and do they continue to grow after that? You know
I think Brussels sprouts, like cabbage, actually, and kale, get better as they get some cold. So usually when something, a vegetable or a fruit, has frozen and rethawed, it gets mushy and pretty, you know, not very tasty. And so I think I would, you know, take one off of your plant and cut it open and take a bite and see how it looks, and you'll know whether you can eat them or not. I want to back up to the crabgrass question because I'm hearing my turf people in my head saying these are annuals now, the crabgrass, and so they are not going to produce any more seed at this point. So they are not going to grow back, those particular plants. What you're going to be worried about is the seed next year. And a pre-emergent would be something to put down on your lawn as well in those areas where you've had crabgrass to prevent those annual seeds from germinating. So I'm going to step back. Don't treat them at this point because they're annuals and they're going to die anyway. So.
And I know, as you know, Julie, we'll talk about it. We'll get questions about dormant seeding. Right. And if you're going to dormant seed, don't put down weed and feed.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, so you don't want to put down anything that's going to interfere with the germination of your grass seed.
Yeah.
So there you have to make a decision. And that grass seed is going to lie dormant through the winter. So then in that case, you would not put a pre-emergent down where that grass seed was put down.
This would be a good point as we head to the break, Julie, about telling folks about the University of Minnesota website. And you can, among other things, find a great lawn program there.
Yes, absolutely. We have our website is extension.umn.edu. We are under Yard and Garden, and we have a great home lawn care newsletter that you can subscribe to that's written by our turf experts in our turf program. And I read it every time it comes out. I think it comes out once a month. It's great. Great information specifically written for the home lawn owner.
Excellent. And again, check it out for whatever reason, extension.umn.edu. All right, Julie, hang on. We'll take a quick
break. Sounds
good. You can call Julie if you have a lawn or garden question, or text Julie, 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday morning on CCO here on News Talk 830 WCCO. What's happening right now on 830 WCCO is our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, answering those lawn and garden questions, of which there are many, as usual, here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Julie, where do we even begin here? Well, I'll begin where we left off, I guess, is the I'm going to leave the lawn question for a little bit later because we've kind of covered some of that, and this is kind of all-encompassing. So here's another one, though. Would you mulch your garlic with leaves or with straw? Thank you. Love the show.
You could do either one. So, you want clean straw, so clean straw is seedless straw because you don't want a lot of wheat growing up with your garlic. But you could do either. You could do straw or leaves, whatever is convenient.
Speaking of leaves, you talked about the leaves. How about pine needles? We have a lot of those on the ground.
Pine needles are great. They allow air and water to flow through easily, and they knit together. So, yes, great mulch. Looks beautiful, too.
And for those who maybe joined us a little bit later, this texter says the weather is supposed to be great this weekend. Is there anything that we should be putting on our lawns to prepare for next year at this point, like fertilizer, weed control, grass seed, insect control, or anything else? Or should we just leave things alone and wait till spring?
I think at this point you might want to it might be time to mow your lawn. You could still do that. Water your lawn. I would hold off putting anything more on your lawn at this point and just go ahead and wait for dormant seeding in November if that's something you plan to do.
And that was another thing they questioned and that you mentioned is how should we mow our grass?
Mm-hmm. So the last time you mow your grass for the season, you should mow it down at 2 inches because you want to minimize snow mold damage. Snow mold builds up in humidity when there's long grass, and it folds over on itself and creates this kind of humid environment. And then also voles like to be hidden in long grass. So cutting it at 2 inches the last time you cut it for the season, that also opens up more soil to seed contact when you put down your dormant seeding.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. That number will get you a text or a phone call for Julie. Let's see. We're on a great show. Thank you very much. What's the best way to overwinter dahlia bulbs?
So I'm not a dahlia expert, but digging them up and then storing them, cleaning off the soil, letting them cure, I believe, so leaving them out in the air, and then putting them in a bag, marking the bag with the name of the dahlia variety so you remember next year, and then keeping them in a, 55 to, a degree basement or a heated garage or someplace where they're not going to freeze, and then planting them up, potting them up in the spring, early spring or late winter, and then getting them going so that you can have some nice plants when you put them out is a way to do it. You can also put the dahlia bulbs right in the ground, too, in the spring. But some people like to pot them up if they have room early on indoors and then get them going before they get outside. So I've heard it both sides.
Okay. Here's another text, Julie. Good morning. It says, your garden show is awesome. Thank you.
You're awesome.
The question is, should I remove my leaves? I know what you're going to say about this on my hostas, and should I cut the dead hosta leaves now or in the spring? I know what you do.
Yeah, so you can do either with the hostas. I leave my hostas. By this time, I'm kind of tired of cutting stuff down like that.
Yeah.
But those leaves also protect the crowns of the hostas, so they act kind of like a mulch. They're mulching themselves. And then I would leave the leaves on the plants at this point. In the spring, when you start to see those hostas come up, you can clean them up. You can cut off the dead leaves and then go ahead and just push the leaves aside to allow the plants to emerge.
Okay. Let's see. Here's another one. Deer have eaten the bark off one side of my newly planted tree.
That's unfortunate.
We covered the trunk with plastic sleeves, but is there anything we should put on the raw bark?
Oh, boy. That's going to be a tough tree. You did the right thing by protecting it with the guards, making sure that it's as stress-free as possible. So watering it, especially now. Continue to water it up until you can't water anymore. In other words, you have to turn your water spigots off or the ground freezes or both. And then in the spring, really keeping an eye on that. What happens is when animals chew through the bark, especially on a young tree or a thin bark tree, they can chew into the layer of the tree, the cambium layer, where the vessels are. It's the vascular system of the tree, and it carries nutrients and water from the roots up into the rest of the plant and then photosynthates or energy or sugars down from the leaves into the rest of the plants down to the roots. So you interfere with that. When the animal eats through that, they girdle the plant, interfering with that and cutting off those vessels. So you want to really look at it. There's nothing you can really do. You want to hope that the tree will heal itself over. But again, fencing it would be a good idea, too, if you do have deer issues, is putting a fence around your smaller, younger plants to protect them from this kind of damage. And the tree guards are a good idea, too, but I would suggest fencing it. So you want to put at least a pretty high fence around that tree. I'm not sure how tall it is, but to keep those deer out from feeding on it again. And that's really all you can do at this point.
And those deer can jump. Holy
man. Yeah, they can jump, and they can also, if the fence is high enough and it's narrow enough, they can't get in there. But
right.
But that's a tough situation, and you just have to keep an eye on that tree. You may lose the tree and may have to replant something.
Julie, we're going to take a break here and look at that forecast as we always do. And when we come back, let's talk about the Arboretum. So many good things happening at the Arboretum. So let's do that after the break, and we'll have a look at that forecast straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to good folks like Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, taking the time to answer all of your lawn and garden questions this morning, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. We'll get back to more of the leaves and other lawn and garden questions, Julie, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the Arboretum, which is, I'd love to go to the Arboretum. I am a member there, and
excellent.
But this must be, I don't know, this might be my favorite time of year to get out there.
This is a great time of year to be out there. If somebody said, what's your favorite time of the year at the Arboretum, I would be hard-pressed to choose just one.
Yeah.
Right now we have our huge scarecrow exhibit, which have these scarecrows were devised by our staff on teams, and some came from Bachman's, and they are so much fun to walk around and look at how creative people are and how they've reused things like old pots and pans and curtains and fruits and vegetables, all sorts of seeds and feathers and grasses, all sorts of things to make these funny scarecrows. And of course we have a bazillion pumpkins and gourds and all sorts of great color. So, and certainly then the leaf color is great. It's not quite as, I think it's kind of crossed its peak a little bit, but when you get out into the collections, like the maple collections and things, you see a lot of the color there. But really just beautiful out there. And boy, this weekend, I think it's going to be packed because it is such a perfect day, you know, going to be a couple of really nice days outside. You do need a reservation, so go on arb.umn.edu. And members don't pay for that reservation. Just pick the time and day you want to be there. If you're not a member, you might want to consider becoming a member, and the fee that you pay to get in can then be applied toward your membership when you get there. So just lots of things to do. And our tickets for Winter Lights, which is the winter display of beautiful, beautiful holiday lights, are now online, and you can reserve those and organize your family and friends and get a whole gang out there. So super.
Absolutely. Easy to get to, just head west on Highway 5 to 41, basically.
Right.
And you're almost there. All right. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. This texter says, I had very few blossoms on my endless summer hydrangeas this year. Watered, fertilized regularly. Should the bushes be cut back, and when?
So endless summer are a type of their hydrangea macrophylla, and those hydrangeas will, one of its big features is that they rebloom on both old and new wood, meaning that they bloom on last year's growth and they'll bloom on new growth next spring. So you can do whatever you want. You can cut it down. You can wait and see how it emerges in the spring. And it sounds like you're doing all the proper care. My only question would be, have the plants become shaded more than maybe they were when you first planted them? That's something that, you know, that kind of happens. We don't even really notice it sometimes in our gardens. But a tree has gotten bigger that's planted nearby. A neighbor's shrub has started to shade part of your yard. And we don't really notice it. And then we start to see that plants are not blooming as well. So that's would be the question I would ask about why they're not blooming as much. You may not have enough sun.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones, Julie. I do believe Bob is calling in from Champlin this morning. Good morning, Bob. You're on CCO.
Yes, good morning to you also. Excellent show. I'm calling this morning. We have low-profile shrubs that kind of grow sideways, and I cover them up every year with burlap, but now they're a little bit too wide, and they're kind of going over our sidewalk into our home. Is it okay if I prune them around, knock off about 6 or 8 inches on either side, so I'll be able to get the burlap on there okay?
Yeah, Bob, it would be better to prune them a little bit earlier in the season. Pruning them right now you may not have a choice at this point, but when you prune a plant, it prompts growth where you make the cut, and so you potentially could get some new growth. I don't know how long this nice fall weather is going to last, but that new growth may not harden off before winter. But I kind of feel like you're kind of stuck, like you have to do that. So I would go ahead and just carefully prune them and then wrap them, as you said. Next year, maybe decide to prune them a little bit earlier in the season so that new growth that happens can actually have time to harden off before winter.
All right, thank you for that call. This texter wants to know, how can I preserve zinnia seeds to plant next spring?
You can collect those zinnia seeds, and you can go ahead and dry them out. Make sure they're dry, and then put them in, say, an envelope or a little paper bag, and put them in a cool location like in a refrigerator. So just making sure that they're completely dry before you package them up is most important, or they could mold.
Okay. How do I, this texter says, keep my 6-foot braided trunk hibiscus tree until next spring? The only space I have inside is a spare bedroom that gets morning sun or a dark basement. What do you think of that situation?
Well, the spare bedroom sounds better because it does get morning sun. You could also purchase a grow light and supplement light. There's a lot of different kinds of grow lights available. You can buy bulbs that fit into a floor lamp fixture, for example, and then just position it so that it's on the plant in that spare bedroom next to the window. So you can do that. You just keep it over winter. It'll bloom inside. It'll re-leaf out. You'll probably drop some leaves when it first comes in, but they'll grow back. And then, just keep watering it like you would a houseplant.
Hey, we have our Creeping Charlie question of the show. Julie, can I still...
missing those for a while.
Yes, it's been kind of quiet. Can I still treat Creeping Charlie in my yard given these nice couple of days?
You could, yes. I think with the temperatures that we have, just looking at the weather here, I think you could probably still treat Creeping Charlie.
Okay. Another listener wants to know, where can you find clean straw?
Yeah. Well, I would contact a local garden center about that. They do sell, some sell straw bales, and that's where I would start with them. Sometimes people sell it, but it's good to go through a garden center. It might be easier for people.
All right. This listener, Julie, says, we have about a 4x4 foot area of lawn that we would like to get rid of to plant flowers next year. Should we cover that with plastic over the winter?
No, it's not going to help over the winter. So you're talking about solarization, where the plastic that you put down, a clear plastic, and solar energy from the sun heats up that space underneath the plastic and will kill off any and everything under that plastic. So a few things about solarization. You have to do it in the warmest time of the season, which is July. And you need to seal down. You want to wet down the area with water to increase the humidity, and that increases the temperature. And then you want to seal down the edges of that plastic so you don't get any wind blowing under there and cooling it. And let it sit there for on that 4x4 area for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. You'll see it start to die down. Remove it, and then remove the vegetation, and you should be good to go at that point. Do bear in mind that the temperature can really heat up in that soil. There was a Cornell study where, or was it, might have been Purdue, where they heated up, they did solarization, and the soil temperature in the top few inches was over 100 degrees.
Wow.
So it kills off everything. It kills off the microbes in that soil, at least in the top areas of the soil. So you're going to want to reintroduce maybe some good compost or something that adds microorganisms back into the soil to make it a good area for whatever it is that you're going to do with it.
Let's go back to the phones before we take a break. I believe Catherine's calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, thank you for waiting. What's your question for Julie?
Well, good morning. Yes, so I planted a hydrangea this spring, and it did really well this summer. And now I'm wondering, what do I do with it? Do I cut it off, or how do I take care of that?
So, good question. And we had that earlier hydrangea question too. So, hydrangeas are great shrubs. There are hardy hydrangeas, which we plant in our landscape, but we also have florists' hydrangeas, which are not hardy here. So, you just need to know, do I have a hardy hydrangea that I bought at a garden center and it's a landscape plant, or do I have one that's more of a potted hydrangea? People do mix them up sometimes, so I always want to make that statement. At this point, if it's a hardy hydrangea, you can just leave it through the winter. They have great flower form. That adds something to our winter landscapes, which are pretty bleak. And then in the spring, you can go ahead and just cut back and cut off those dead flowers. We happen to have a great video on pruning hydrangeas, and it talks about the three species of hydrangeas that we grow most commonly in our Minnesota landscapes. We show you how to prune them. We talk about when to prune them. And so I would recommend taking a look at that video. It's on our pruning hydrangeas webpage. It's under our trees and shrubs section on extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden.
All right. We will mention that website again before Julie takes her leave today. Let's take this quick break. We have more Smart Garden Show to come. By the way, in the 9 o'clock hour, Andy Lindis will be answering your home improvement questions. So keep that in mind as we move straight ahead here on a Saturday morning on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls and text messages pertaining to lawns and gardens. Julie Weisenhardt from the U of M helping you out today. 651-461-9226. Oh, we still have a bunch of text messages to help folks out here. Julie, let's see. If I continue, Texter says, to cut my crabapple suckers, will they eventually stop coming up?
No. No, they won't. You'll just have to keep trimming them back. And don't treat them with anything, because you'll be treating the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And you certainly don't want to harm the tree. So, yep, just keep snipping them back. And hopefully they'll start to reduce, but don't count on it.
Julie, another listener wants to know, how do you get rid of thistles?
Oh, my goodness. Thistles are so difficult. Thistles are perennial plants, and they have very long tap roots. Canada thistle is, several are listed, but Canada thistle is listed on our noxious weed list with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So we are obligated to control them in our yards and gardens and landscapes. The problem with a lot of these thistles is the roots go down a couple of feet, like in Canada thistle. And if you were able to take a slice out of the soil that's part of a Canada thistle colony, you would see these roots go straight down and then across. So they connect they come down in the soil and then they go horizontal and then they pop up more roots in other areas, which is how they are so efficient at growing a colony and so darn difficult to get rid of. The only thing you can do with thistle, and I know I'll probably get some pushback from listeners, but is treat the thistles with a pesticide, with an herbicide. And you're going to want to use a a combination of glyphosate and triclopyr to treat those thistles. So they are very difficult to get rid of. People have tried solarization. They have tried vinegar. They have tried cutting the thistles. It's very difficult to get rid of them because they have such deep root systems and so complex.
Julie, here's a question from a listener who I should say they're a listener. I'll tell you why in a minute. I'd like to transplant 3 Russian sages. May I do so now or wait till the spring? They've outgrown their area.
Yeah, Russian sage is tricky to transplant. It does not like to be moved once it's established. So you can try. I would not do them now. I would wait until spring before they break bud. So they're a little bit woody. They're a semi-woody herbaceous plant. And I would wait until spring and before they open up their leaves and move them then. Right now, if you move them, you can water them for maybe a little while longer, but because they're woody, you really want to really take care of them after you plant them. You want to water them well, make sure they have lots of room, lots of light, and let them have the growing season next year to reestablish.
The reason I say dedicated, this texter also says, I have a 3-inch notebook of notes from this show from 2017.
Wow.
How about that? That's dedication.
That's listener of the year, I think.
This listener was given an orchid. How do I care for it?
Okay. I'm going to jump off the cliff and say it's a moth orchid because they're usually the most common. Orchids are epiphytes, meaning that they grow on other plants and they take their nutrients from the moisture in the air and on the bark of the other trees. They're not parasitic, but they do kind of cling to other plants with their roots. And these plants, knowing that, these plants like a lot of air in their roots. So we plant them in a soilless mixture. We use fir bark or just an orchid mix that you can buy. And that means also that they need to be well drained and they do not like to sit in water. That is the main reason that orchids usually fail is people think because they're kind of exotic that they need tons of water and they can just sit in water. And you don't want to do that. So as you want to let them completely dry out between waterings and then set them in the sink and let them drain really well. Choose water carefully too. Tap water often contains additives that we put into our water systems that are not terribly appreciated by the orchids. So go ahead and purchase reverse osmosis water from your grocery store or distilled water. Buy an orchid fertilizer and use it at half strength when you water those orchids. And you'll probably have to repot these orchids in a couple of years when that bark starts to break down and get kind of soil-like. And then you'll want to put in fresh bark. I have to do that now. Your orchids are great outside, too, in a shady spot through the summer. They really enjoy that. The rainwater is great for them, the air, everything. And so that's kind of taking care of an orchid in a nutshell.
Okay. Julie, we have less than 2 minutes to go on the show real fast. What's the best time to prune boxwood? Is it too late in the season now?
Yeah, I would hold off on pruning. Boxwood really doesn't need too much pruning unless you're shaping it. And I would go ahead and prune that in the spring.
I haven't put down my step 4 yard care application, texter says, yet. Do I still have time to do that?
You'll have to read the package, and it will tell you about air temperatures and the timing for that.
Should we be watering spruce trees is another
yes,
text.
Yes. Please water your evergreens especially. They need to hang on to their needles. Those needles continue to photosynthesize through the winter. So, yeah, definitely be watering evergreens up until either you have to turn off your water or the soil freezes or both.
Tell us once again how to get in touch with that great university website, if you would.
extension.umn.edu. Go to Yard and Garden. We have a hot new series of articles on our Yard and Garden news, and definitely take a look at that. You can subscribe to that and get an alert from us every time we put out some new information. Get out to the Arboretum. Get a reservation at arb.umn.edu. It's a great weekend. And next week will be nice, too. It's going to be in the 50s. It's going to be beautiful out there.
And Julie, for those that don't know, plays in a group called The Abiders. Yes. When's their next gig, you guys?
Our next gig is at Lupine Brewing in Delano on November 3rd. And then, of course, the infamous Tonka Brew Fest on Saturday, November 5th with the whole band. We'll be out at Galewoods Farms. You can get tickets at tonkabrewfest.com.
Oh, it's so much fun. You guys are great. Super Julie, fun. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you real soon, I hope.
I'll see you on the 5th.
Good deal.
I'm on.
You got a deal. Okay. Thanks, Julie. Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Again, Andy Lind is answering those home improvement questions. Get those ready for next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 45 now in the Twin Cities. We're heading to near 80. Stay with us.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.